Well, good evening. It is certainly good to be here. And it's good to give a little talk in front of a live audience. Last time I addressed the church, so to speak, it was over the airwaves, YouTube. So I'm glad to have a live audience. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to be starting in verse 17. We're going to read through chapter 3 and to verse 5. And what we're reading here is a portion of Scripture that Paul mentions Timothy. And if you were just to do a word search in your Bibles of Timothy, or use the concordance on your iPads and search Timothy, what you'll notice, and don't do it now, Wes, wait for after church, but if you do that, you're going to notice that Paul spoke of Timothy often. And so what we're reading right here is not uncommon for Paul to say about Timothy. Paul often lavished good words upon Timothy. And so tonight I think it would be a good use of our time to study the character of Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. And we're starting in verse 17 so we can understand how Paul felt about the brethren he was writing to in Thessalonica. I want you to hear the love and admiration that he has for the group at Thessalonica. And what he's gathered is he's concerned about the group at Thessalonica. And out of his concern, he's going to send Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we are with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass. And just as you know, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Brethren, Paul had a great affection for those in Thessalonica. And he was concerned. And what he needed was a brother to go and encourage them, to check on them and be with them. And who he saw fit to complete the task that was before him was Timothy. And as we hear these words that are spoken of Timothy by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as I hear this written about a young worker in the faith, I think these are words that we should all aspire to have used about us. Let's listen to this that he talks about, that he writes about. Verse 2 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we sent Timothy, our brother. The affection that he has for Timothy forces him to use that familiar reference, our brother and God's co-worker. Brethren, that's what we need to be described as. That's what we need to be looked at as, is a co-worker of God. And in that phrase, co-worker, what he knows is Timothy was willing to do the work. And so as I am here at the congregation at Hansville and seeing brethren all over the world, what you want to be looked at is a worker, someone willing to complete the task that God has before us. He's a co-worker with God in the gospel of Christ to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. And so what you have is a fear that some people could be tossed to and fro, a fear that people's faith could waver, and when they needed to be exhorted, when they needed to be encouraged, Paul sent Timothy. And this evening, later on, when you're doing your word search with Timothy, you're going to find that it was not uncommon for Timothy to use these words of affirmation, these very affectionate words to describe Timothy. Therefore, we want to look at Timothy, the character, who he was, How did he get to where he was? How can we follow in those full footsteps? And in what ways is Timothy a lot like us? Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is when we're first introduced to this character, Timothy. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. What we're noticing, and we're not going to look at every scripture tonight that mentions Timothy, but already, just in these two verses and two passages that we've read, we notice that when Timothy's there, what follows? Encouragement. When Timothy's there, what's also there? Strong brethren, because he's doing the work to make sure that they're strengthened and encouraged. And what we find here in Acts chapter 16, because Timothy was picked up and accompanied Paul, you have brethren being strengthened and encouraged. Let that be said of us today, that when we're with a local group, when we're around God's people, that they are strengthened and encouraged. There is so much in this world today that can tear people down. Whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, it will tear them down. And what God's people are called to do is to lift people up and exhort and encourage one another. And Timothy is fulfilling that role. What we see here is another example where Timothy is well spoken of. Well spoken of by who? His friends? City council? The scriptures tell us he was well spoken of by the brothers. He was well spoken of by the brothers. He was willing to put others first. And so I ask myself, as I work in the church and I'm a member here, how much better could the work here be if I would put others first? If I would put others before me. And here's where I get that after reading in Acts chapter 16. Though Timothy was a young man, he was no infant. He was no babe. And Paul makes the decision that he's going to circumcise him. And without getting too graphic, I'm just going to tell you, at his age, whatever it was, that was a painful situation. And what the Scripture does not record is Timothy griping, moaning, and complaining and saying, "It's not necessary. I'm not going to do that." Why did he do it? He did it for somebody else. Why did he endure the pain? Why did he continue to walk and get up and do the work after that surgery had been completed on him? Because he loved the brothers. He was willing to put others ahead of himself. And so I ask myself, where would people be? How can I encourage people? Put them ahead of you. If I would put their well-being ahead of my well-being, how much better would the church at Hans will be? And here's another thing. He was willing to accept responsibility. You know what this passage doesn't say? And Timothy was there in Derbe, and he was looking for something to do. No, he was asked, and as soon as Paul put before him something to do, you know what he said? "I will do it." And he was a young man, and he accepted the responsibility. In my occupation, I get the opportunity to speak to people who are not considered young. You know, they're quote-unquote over the hill. And their number one concern about young people is what? They won't accept responsibility. They're not willing to do the work. You know what Timothy was willing to do? He was willing to accept the responsibility. He was willing to do the work. And so let it be said of our young people. When there's a task that is put before them, that they are willing to do the work and they can be counted on and depended upon. What we find is when Paul first meets Timothy, what's he willing to do? Accept responsibility. Later, when he wrote that letter to the Thessalonians, what was Timothy willing to do? Accept responsibility. Timothy was a man of responsibility. He was a man of action, and he was a man of work. What's interesting is, as you do your word search later on, Paul sent him everywhere. Paul sent him to Thessalonica, as we read. He sent him to Ephesus. He sent him to Corinth. He sent him to Philippi. I think of all the most special places he sent him. The way he invites him to Rome is probably the most special place. For he's struggling. Paul himself is struggling. He's in prison. And what's he say to Timothy? Come quickly. He wanted to see that young man. Why did he want to see him? Because in Acts chapter 17, what's recorded for us, Timothy encouraged. Why did Paul need to see him? Because what's recorded for us in the letter to the Thessalonians is Timothy encouraged people. You know what Paul needed? You know why he said, come quickly? I need encouragement. And this didn't come by accident. What we're reading tonight and what we're studying tonight and understanding about Timothy, it was no accident. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We're just going to read one verse. But after the reading of this verse, what we're not going to be is surprised that Timothy was the man that he became. We're not going to be surprised that Timothy was dependable. He was reliable. He was a young man of responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm as sure dwells in you as well. Where did Timothy learn responsibility? Where did Timothy learn how to encourage? Where did Timothy learn to be a man of action? He learned it from the Scriptures. Who took the time to break open the Scriptures with him? It was his mother and his grandmother. What you have there represented in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 is you have three generations. You have the grandmother, the mother, and you have the young boy. And all three of them are working together to do the Lord's work. Oftentimes you say, well, I've just gotten to the age where I can't do anything. I'm too young to get anything done. Or I've just gotten too young, too old. I don't know if my influence is still strong. Grandparents, open the Word of God with your grandchildren. Parents, open the Word of God with your children. How far will it take them? What will it do for the community? And so as we look here, Timothy came across his character not by accident, but because of a distinct choice that his mother and his grandmother made to break open the Scriptures and the bread of life to him. So his grandmother wasn't willing to quit just because of her age. She still saw value in what she could bring to the church. But I want to talk just a minute about his mother. Timothy's mother was not in an ideal situation. See, Timothy's mother's husband was not of the same faith. And from what we understand here, he had no part in shaping his faith in the truth. She was left to do it all alone. And what she could have done is just made excuses about her situation and not gotten anything done. But what she decided to do instead is find somebody who could help her get the job done, because she knew the greatest thing that she could do for her young boy was to teach him the Word of God. It may be in that society, her being a woman, in that age, she couldn't provide for him very well monetarily. She couldn't give him a great name. That was his father's name. But you know what she could do? She could bless him with the Word of God. And that was more important than anything else she could have given him. And then as she's there, she's also living in a time where governments were difficult to deal with. You want to talk about corruption? You want to talk about immorality spreading through the government? We can study the Roman Empire. You think that our politicians are corrupt? You think that our politicians will do anything for power? Study the Roman Empire. You want to talk about oppression? Be a Jew in the Roman Empire. It wasn't always a rosy place to do. And you know what we don't find her doing? Wringing her hands and asking herself, what can I do? No doubt we understand she's human. Now, it's not recorded for us in Scripture, but let's think about her situation. Corrupt politicians, immorality everywhere, every turn. She had to have asked herself this question. What can I do? What good am I? The world around me is falling apart. But what she decided to do was she decided to affect the household that she was in. She decided to affect the young man whose life God had put her in. And she opened into him the Word of God. And by changing his life, today she's changed our life. Because he became an evangelist that spread the gospel and did the work of God and was a co-worker with God. And today, the world is better because of what she did with her son. I am going to tell you, brothers and sisters, as I've studied this and I've looked at what the mother did in this situation, I have determined that what we do not need in this world, in the situation that we're in, is more social media posts. We don't need more rioting in the streets. We need more studying of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need more parents taking time to talk about Jesus Christ and the impact that he's made in their lives and hopefully going to make in the children's life. That's how we're going to change our communities. That's how we're going to change the church. And that's how we'll affect the world around us. Therefore, we have to get busy doing the business of God. And we have to get busy desiring to be called a co-worker of God, as Timothy ended up being called. Let's stay here in 2 Timothy. And we're going to start in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Timothy was a man of faith, responsibility, and we need to follow in his footsteps. But Timothy was human. Timothy had the same struggles that we have. You know what Timothy needed sometimes? We've already studied. He was an encourager. You know what Timothy needed sometimes? Encouragement. Timothy at times, just like the rest of us, was afraid. So therefore, Paul says to him, for God, verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Let's fast forward to verse 12 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because what we find is Paul also could find himself in moments of fear, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day which he's entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And so not only does Paul recognize that Timothy could fall into moments of fear, but what Paul does is he gives him the avenue in which he could release all of that fear. And that is the conviction of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul says, I am convinced, and therefore I'm not ashamed. Continuing in chapter 2 and verse 1, after he recognizes the fear that could come upon Timothy, he says to him in chapter 2 and verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Timothy could have walked around and talked about, well, I'm too young. I can't get the work done. And you know, when I go to this older brother and I talk to him about the gospel, he's not going to respect me. Paul knew he'd think that. The Holy Spirit knew he would think that. Therefore, these words are recorded for us. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Timothy, don't be afraid of how they're going to respond to you because of your age. Don't let that hold you back. Set them an example. You set your conduct. You show them how a young man's supposed to act. And you know what follows after you show them that? Respect. And see, he needed to hear these words of encouragement. He needed to be brought out of his fear because he had a great task before him. And brethren, we have that same task before us. Life's not easy. Spreading the gospel is not easy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the ancestry of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. He was going to have challenges before him. People were going to fall away from the faith. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. What Paul says to Timothy is, look, I've not had it easy. You need to be encouraged and you need to be strengthened, because let me tell you what happened to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phileas and Hermeneus. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, who often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Everybody deserted Paul. You know what Paul needed was encouragement. He needed to be strengthened. He needed to be strong. He couldn't let the fear of being arrested keep him from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Timothy had a task before him that had to get done, and he had to let the fear be released from his mind. He could not operate. He could not do the task that God had him if he stood there in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to what the challenge is going to be before Timothy. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous and reckless. The point is, he was going to face some trials in what he was doing, and what he couldn't do is allow fear to rule his life. Fear takes us captive. Fear almost imprisonates us. What fear always does is keeps us from doing something. I didn't say it always keeps us from doing something we should, but it does keep us from doing something. Look, just a simple thing. Why do we not put our hand on the hot stove? We're afraid our hand will get burned, right? But that's a good thing. So fear always prevents you from doing something. So I often have to ask myself, where would I be if I wasn't afraid? Because what could Timothy be afraid of? They're going to make fun of me because I'm young. They're not going to believe me. But they still needed to hear the gospel. And whose responsibility was it to preach the gospel to them, young or old? Timothy. It was his responsibility to get the work done. Let's listen to chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul's not really taking it easy on Timothy. He's telling him to overcome his fears. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. But that's not an excuse. He still had to preach the gospel. He still had to do the work. Now, I'm somewhat of a risk taker. And I'm getting paid back for taking the risk that I've taken in my life. And here's what I mean. My youngest son also is a risk taker. And my heart rate gets increased greatly by the crazy things that he's willing to do because he has no fear. Now, he'll never get the ladder out when I need him to get the ladder out or do some work. You know what he always claims? I'm too short. I'm too small. But yesterday, to get himself out of trouble, he got the ladder out. And it specifically says, if you could read those words, it specifically says on the top rung of the letter, what does it say on the very top? Bless, it says, do not step, right? Not for step. He needed to get on the roof of the neighbor's house. Ask him about why he needed to do that later. But where was he? He was right on top of what says, do not step. You know why? He's not afraid. He didn't worry about what all could happen. He just knew he needed to get the job done that was before him. He thought he was going to get a whooping if he didn't do what he was going to do. But nonetheless, he was willing to take the risk. So sometimes, you know, not taking risks keeps us from doing things we shouldn't do. But I remember when I was 14 years old. And I was afraid of responsibility. I was afraid of what would happen if I became a Christian. And great, thanks be to God, I survived for 12 months. knowing I needed to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I was afraid of what they would think of me when I became a Christian. Now people are going to look at me. They're going to expect something of me. They're probably going to ask me to say a prayer. They're going to think I need to start acting better. And, you know, I'm a risk taker. I don't like acting better. And so I was afraid. And so my fear kept me from doing what I needed to do. And so the challenge to us today is to ask yourself, what are you afraid of? When you go to your neighbor's house and talk to him about the gospel, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of rejection. But what that fear is doing is it keeping you from doing what you ought to do. And so I think the challenge to us as we get older is to quit being afraid. Have more of that youthful spirit where there is no fear. And to step up and do the work that is before us. Because we can't count on everybody else to get the job done. Notice that's what, in Acts chapter 16, Timothy didn't say, well, go find somebody else to go with you, Paul. No, he said, I'll do the job that's before us. And brethren, there is work to be done before us. If we'll just quit letting fear of rejection hold us back, we can get the job done. And I want to end in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because what we found out is Timothy is human, right? He struggles like we do. And he has some fears and he needed some encouragement. And Paul encouraged him. He's similar to us in this way too. Because he was entrusted with the grace of God. He was entrusted with salvation. And here's what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Timothy, you've got something precious inside of you. Brethren, we have something precious inside of us. We have the grace of Jesus Christ. And Paul says as a response to that, avoid all this irreverent babble, all of this trash that everybody else talks about. Please quit talking about it because you've got something precious inside of you that needs to be guarded and needs to be protected and needs to be taken seriously. And what we're finding is not enough people take serious what the Lord has put before us and what God has put inside of us. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Now listen, what he was afraid of, what Paul was afraid of, is something could happen to Timothy that had happened to others. Verse 21. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. And so he asked Timothy, take serious the deposit that you have within you. Take serious the salvation that you have and don't waste your time in conversations that are not profitable. Take serious what you have before us. So brethren, the challenge to us tonight is don't walk out of here afraid. Walk out of here encouraged to be a co-worker with God and to take serious what God has entrusted us with. And the closing thought is if you're sitting out there tonight and you're afraid of what we'll say if you walk forward tonight and you confess that you've sinned and you've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's the only one that can save you, don't be afraid. I mean, if I can be a Christian, everybody can. The Lord is there with you. And so don't let fear hold you back from responding to the gospel tonight, because if you think you need to, then you need to. And you can be buried with Him in baptism, be buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, and every sin that you have will be washed away. And you can now be called a co-worker with Jehovah God. If you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll do so as together we stand and as we sing.